Impeachments, bad decisions, and the upside down.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast.
I'm Janine. About
this? I did. Like, what am I doing? I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Wow, I like the jazz hands there.
Thank you. No one can see that, though. Just you.
Well, but you can hear it in your voice.
Can you? Did I have a jazz hand voice?
You did. You absolutely did. I hope you're having jazz hand day out there, you listeners of our podcast. Thank you for listening. We're going to jump right out. My voice is, I don't know what it's been. It's like I've had like a month-long cold or something.
Or something. I don't know.
Something in the air? Well, it's warmer.
Could be.
It's global warming, global climate change, so there's probably
and
things.
And flu season, so even though you had the shot, you can still get
well,
I've
been around children. We were around children this weekend, so and they're like
true.
Little incubators, little bastards. Anyway.
Little incubators.
Yeah, they're adorable. Anyway, so this week I decided to dedicate and kind of turn the spotlight back to the White House and the nefarious goings on there. We have, I think this is historic, how many temporary cabinet heads we've had, or we have currently. Like what word do they use? It's like not. Oh my gosh, I'm having such a senior moment.
Interim?
Yeah, interim or whatever. Yeah, whatever phrase they're using this week, and they all seem to stay for a long time until they do something to piss this president off, which doesn't take much.
Well, even the permanent ones were temporary.
Yeah, so they're all temporary. But anyway, so I decide to have Carmen kidnapped, and she's made into head of something. They're not exactly sure what, and neither is the president. But he's sure she's the best, and there's never been a better. So anyway.
Well, at one point you said, you know, that the Secret Service told Carmen to leave her soul at the door. And Cheapskate Zero said, let me guess, leave your soul at the door. Scott's taking on the Republicans again? To which Yontrop said,
what?
What? He says Scott's taking on the Republicans again?
Oh, taking on. I thought made it sound like I was carping them or something.
No, taking on.
Taking them on.
Again.
Okay.
Taking them on. And Yontrop said, no, just Trump. And in response to Miles, he said, just saying, Scott Stantis still wants to think Republicans, quote, aren't all like Trump, unquote. I agree. Some are like Paul Ryan. Some are like Reagan. Some like Bush. Some like Nixon. I don't want anyone like that in the White House or any part of our government.
Well, see, I disagree because some of those people you mentioned I actually respect. But, you know, I am deeply, I haven't voiced this in the strip as much as I probably should or as much as I will, but I am so deeply disappointed by the Republican Party and the Republicans in general. I mean, the profiles and putting on Capitol Hill of these people who I know for a fact have heard some of them in private meetings say how much they despise this president, despise his actions, despise the kind of person he is, despises everything about him, but in public they support the son of a gun. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can betray yourself so utterly and thoroughly for a job. Okay, and that's really what it comes down to.
Yep.
They like being congressmen. They like being senators. They like being governors. There's an interesting story in today's New York Times about how a lot of Republican governors ran, I love Trump. I love Trump. And now that they're reelected, they can't stand the guy. And they're more and
well,
more
they don't care anymore. Does it matter?
Yeah, but that's grotesque. That's the very worst of politics as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I'm going to take on the Republicans. And I think and the Democrats, too. I'm sorry. Janine and I disagree on this. But the way they're handling this impeachment is terrible.
I disagree with you. I just think that I don't even think you need to have all this inquiry. He said, it was pretty obvious. He said, he did it. He said, hey, investigate people. He asked a foreign government to investigate an American citizen who, for his own personal gain, because he was running against him.
Yeah.
He thought he would be running against
him. Well, the argument against that is that he was looking into corruption, which, of course, like this guy gives two craps about corruption. Come on. What did you just say?
I said,
But where I disagree is the Democrats have not been judicious. They haven't worked in a slow, meticulous manner, and they haven't brought the country with them. It's still a 50-50 split in that, you know, they're going to vote. You know what's going to happen this coming week. They're going to vote to impeach the guy. They're going to send the articles to the Senate. The Senate's going to go through their kabuki dance of pretending to have a, you know, it's going to be a Soviet-level show trial. And they're going to, you know, not vote to remove him from office, and he's going to run around the country saying he's exonerated. And frankly, most, you know, the 35% that support this moron are none too smart themselves, and they're going to support it and believe that he was exonerated. And that's not what this means. by any stretch. No one understands this. And it didn't happen that long ago, folks. It was only 20 years ago when they impeached Clinton. Can we remember that?
Apparently not.
Okay.
So Carmen is with Trump, and she asks, where's the exit? And Daniel M. Kimmel says, nope, no exit, not until the next election, unless 20 Republican senators decide they love our country more than power. And D. Colson, 1125, says, the voting booth. We kid ourselves if we think impeachment will pass the Senate with McConnell in charge. And for that matter, if we don't focus on changing the Senate in 2020, we're in for the same circus, almost, in 2020, irrespective of the president. Remember McConnell's promise when Obama was elected to obstruct anything he put forward for consideration?
Yeah, no, I mean, this, like I said, it's going to be a Soviet, if you guys remember the Soviet Union, it was, you know, way back when, but they had show trials all the time. And that's what this is going to be. It's going to be a show trial. It's going to be a joke. It's just as much of a joke as the impeachment proceedings were in any way judicious. They weren't. I'm just deeply disturbed at the whole process. I'm deeply disturbed by our politics. You know, we are probably, or seemingly irreparably fractured in this country. I hope that's not true. I can't. If I believe that, then it's time to go and move to the south of France or something, because then this country's done. Because then it just gets to be a ridiculous pendulum that goes back and forth. And
everybody undoing what the other ones had done.
Yeah. So, you know, until we can have someone come forward who can bring together common ground, and I know people will argue that that was Obama, and I thought he was okay at it. He certainly voiced that, but he didn't actually facilitate it in a weird way. And again, that may just be because the atmosphere.
They refused to do anything.
Yeah, it may just be that.
So Carmen was kicked out finally on the appointee for saying she would point out bad decisions. To which Brain Pudding responded, "It is not the role of political appointees to make sure that bad, quote unquote, policies are not implemented. While pointing out potential problems to the president relating his policy choices, in the end, the appointee is not elected. The appointee is there to carry out the will of the president, who is the elective representative. Trump has no problem hearing opinions that disagree with him. His. He does have problem with leakers and those who seek to subvert his policy decisions. Sadly, so many lifelong bureaucrats and political appointees think they should make policy. When they can't have their way, they spread rumors and throw temper tantrums."
I'm sorry, you just described the president.
I know. That's what I was thinking. It's the same thing.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't listen to opinions.
No, and he
maybe
doesn't.
Maybe he hears them. He hears them, but he doesn't listen to them.
Well, I also would argue vehemently, and I'd be right, and I'm afraid, who wrote that?
Brain Pudding,
I have to respectfully disagree with you. This president does not listen, does not respect opposing views at all.
He tweets nasty stuff about people who disagree with
him. People who work for
him,
and he fires them via Twitter. No, you're misreading what this president does. Although you make an interesting point. At what point does, say, a cabinet officer or someone who's in charge of the EPA or whatever, or another federal agency, do they disregard or not implement the duly elected president's wishes? He is the chief executive of the United States. His or her job is to run that end of the government. And that's a fascinating thought, and what I'm going to have to ponder.
So you also did your strip where Washington, D.C. was upside down?
Mm-hmm. The upside down.
Yes. William Robbins said, "Don't think it's been this bad since the 1850s. But somebody's probably said that every 10 to 20 years. Let's hope I'm wrong."
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We talk about this. I'm never quite sure where we're at as a country historically. Maybe you could, if you want, drop us a line, drop us a comment on the GoComics site, or shoot us an email at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. And let us know if I'm trying to think of some other periods of time. The 1850s, obviously, that didn't end well with the election of Abraham Lincoln. We began shooting at each other. Haven't done that yet.
But you and I watched that documentary on Bobby Kennedy, and that time seemed to be very...
Right. In the 1960s, growing
too.
Up in the 60s, you know, I talk about how the politicians in the House and the Senate were better. But let's face it, the country was in turmoil. Whereas in not, and it wasn't just Vietnam, although that was certainly part of it. The decade of the 60s ended in the 70s. Early 70s were actually more of the 60s than the 60s, if you remember. And there was political violence, a lot of it, actually. In fact, when I went to junior high and high school in Madison, Wisconsin, there was a bombing of a UW lab that a guy, a postdoc guy, was working at that weekend, and it killed him. So people died during that period of time. Obviously, Kent State people died. And, yeah, we were at each other's throats. And it was a much, much more and as bad as maybe we are today. So I'd like to know if historically, if you think, you the listeners, think that there's any other times when that compared to what we're going through today. I just can't imagine being this stratified. You know, you're wrong, I'm wrong, your team, my team. It's just preposterous.
It seems like that part's gotten worse. There's no reaching across the aisle or bipartisanship at all.
Or talk of a common good. I mean, what politician have you heard use that phrase or anything remotely like it? What else we got?
Oh, Michael SFC90 said, nope, it's never been that normal.
No, it never has. Politicians are freaks, let's face it. I mean, you know, you think about the guys and women who run for those offices and the psychology it takes to do that. You got to be a weirdo. So, yeah, maybe it's always been upside down.
I just think now particularly you have to have a lot of money behind you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of games you have to play, maybe even more so than before.
Well, there's always been games. Oh,
yeah, there
gosh.
Always has
I mean,
been.
Watch the movie Lincoln and the machinations he had to go through, some of them fictionalized, but much of it pretty realistic of what he had to go through to get the 14th Amendment passed. I mean, it's pretty amazing how politics always has worked and has always worked.
So I guess nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. Is that it?
Okay, yes.
Okay, well, that's it. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brian Altimer, our amazing producer and good guy.
He is a good guy.
He's a good man. He really is. And by the way, if you ever friend Brian Altimer on Facebook, on the Book of Faces, he's also a music producer, I guess. I'm not sure. I guess you call him a musician. He'll stream live. When he's working on some music, and it's really, really good. I mean, sometimes I just turn it on and listen to it because, well, it's good. And he's a crazy talented guy anyway. So, and he has some great Blackhawk swag, which I envy.
Mm-hmm, which you're probably, like, angling for.
No.
Not you.
Not me. But, Brian, you know the address. Anyway, thank you, Brian. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for posting and hosting our podcast. We can't thank you enough for that, guys. Really can't. And if you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, feel free to do so by going to gocomics.com/Prickly City. That's gocomics.com/Prickly City. If you haven't signed up already, do so. It's free, and you get kind of cool stuff to go along with it. And leave a comment, and maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. If you want to contact us directly, we'd love to hear from you. The email address is pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank you for listening, because I really appreciate it. I mean, we obviously wouldn't do it if you weren't. So thank you so much. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers. Yeah.